We have the immense blessing of having Pastor Andrea come and preach the word this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Take your seats. God bless you. Well, I wasn't expecting that. We are going to get straight into the Word of God this morning because, you know what? It's a lifesaver and it's a life changer. He is a lifesaver. He is a life changer. And we need to get this great big book on the inside of us. Come on, because this needs to lead our lives. We're going to start with prayer. I want to invite you to put your own hand on your own heart and pray this prayer after me. Lord, I thank you that your word is living and powerful. It's able to divide between my soul and spirit and reveal hidden thoughts in my heart. Do this for me today so I can see my own heart and change what needs to be changed for your glory and my blessing. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Okay. Well, we'll kick off with the first line. I'm going to speak this morning on heart conditions. The Bible is very clear that the condition of our heart affects everything, everything in our lives. And if I can put it like this, the second bit, the inner life affects the outer life. Don't we know it? In fact, nothing and no one on the outside of you has greater influence over you than your own heart. Ever thought about that? We can talk about peer pressure and outer pressure and all these things that influence us, bombarding our minds. But actually, the greatest influence in your life and my life is our own heart. Not on the outside, actually on the inside. And it's your heart that causes you to make the decisions that you make. Act the way you do. We are prepared to spend time, all of us, on the things we love, aren't we? It's amazing how somehow we find time for the things we love. Now, I often see train spotters near where I live, and I marvel at these people. They're a rare breed, aren't they? If you're a train spotter here this morning, God bless you. But they are prepared, my gosh, to stand out there with their camera in all weathers, at all times of the day. It doesn't matter how long they're waiting. They'll wait there diligently, sacrificing, because they just love trains. They got trains on the inside. They love trains. Everybody has their quirks, don't they? I love my dog, but I don't like taking them out in the rain. There they'll stand in the rain, waiting and waiting. Apparently, we had the Flying Scotsman go through here a couple of weeks ago. There you go. There are no train spotters here. Nobody could care less about that. Me neither. But anyway, they probably got a real burst of joy when the Flying Scotsman went through. But you know, that was a temporary thing, that burst of joy, because it kind of comes and goes, doesn't it? It doesn't change them permanently. They probably have a happy thought at the memory of seeing that rare train. But, you know, when somebody criticizes the pictures or the anorak, they'll lose the joy pretty quickly. It comes and it goes. There are plenty of rich and successful people in the world. You know, you can look at their lives and think, well, on the outside, they're doing really well. They seem to have got everything sorted. But their hearts are miserable, you know? And no amount of riches can sort a miserable heart. The heart is the center of us, not just physically. We put our own hand on our heart this morning. But it's not just the center of you physically. It's the center of you spiritually. And we're going to look at Proverbs 4. I love this scripture. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Where do the issues of life spring from? The heart. So the issues in your emotional life, they spring from your heart. The issues in your head, actually, they spring from your heart. Issues, relational life, work life, you name it, all of it ultimately stems from your heart and the condition of your heart. Now, Pastor Judith brought a fantastic word last week on thankfulness. Gosh, didn't we need to hear that? I needed to hear that. And it was she was talking about thankfulness in prayer and thankfulness in life generally. But if our hearts get clogged up with disappointment, discontentment, grass is greener on the other side, jealousy, complaint, all these things, the thankfulness dries up, doesn't it? And the heart, spiritually speaking, shrivels. That's an awful thought, isn't it? A shriveled heart, raisin heart. We don't want that. Jesus certainly doesn't want that. As believers, followers of Jesus, our hearts should be growing bigger, like that, not smaller. The arrow needs to be going in the right direction. Getting bigger, because we're getting more full of him, more full of his love for people, his compassion for people, more full of his plans, the greatness of who he is. Our hearts should be growing. But when our hearts get polluted, I think that word is a really good word to describe what goes on. Polluted. When our hearts get polluted with bad attitudes, they shrink. It goes in the opposite way. We shrink back, we start to make our excuses, and actually there's no room left for him anymore. And there's no room even for people anymore. We kind of put a disguise on it kind of thing. But really, when that happens, it's just all about you and what you want, if I can be absolutely honest. And that's a dangerous condition to be in, is it not? Yeah. Now, in this country, if you're over the age of 40, you get the blessing of a free NHS check every 5 years. Anybody had one of those? Anybody admit to having one of those? Come on, there are plenty of us in this room. Yes, have had that health check. And one thing they always check is the heart, isn't it? They'll check a whole host of things, but one thing they always check is the heart. Now, just play along with me here. Use your imagination for a minute. Just imagine when you go for that health check that that doctor could see your heart spiritually. Okay, we've got a heart example for you here. So they said to you, well, I'm very sorry to tell you, Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, there's a bit of anger in there. Not only that, there's quite a lot of judgment. And really, probably the worst bit of news I've got for you today is on the left-hand side there's some resentment. And it's growing. And that is going to cause you a whole host of problems in the future. Okay, it would be embarrassing, number one, that kind of exposure. And pretty alarming, wouldn't it? What, all of that going on? I had no idea. But you know what? Better to know. Better to have that diagnosis than for it to be going on behind the scenes and you thinking everything's fine and dandy. Yes? Are we in agreement? I'm right. Yeah. Yeah? So we need to make regular visits, really, to Dr. Jesus to let him scan our hearts. Let us know what's in there behind the scenes. Because we all convince ourselves that we're fine, don't we? Everything's fine. I remember I knew this person a while ago, and I used to, whenever I said to him, how are you? His sort of stock answer, some of you in this room know him. When I say this, you'll know who I'm talking about. But his stock answer would be, I'm fine, it's everybody else. Right? And I used to think that was funny. It kind of is funny, unless he really believed that. Unless he really believed, I'm fine, the problem is everybody else. Actually, that is a bit of a problem, well, a lot of a problem. So this NHS health check, it's every 5 years, but gosh, we need to check our hearts spiritually a whole lot more regularly than that. Because you know what? You never know what's going to come at you, do you? You never know what things are going to kind of take a pop at you, and people are going to criticize you and hurt your feelings and let you down. But you know, it's our job to keep our own hearts right. What did Jesus say? Forgive. Bless your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Keep your own heart free of resentment and complaint. Those inner thoughts and inner attitudes that can creep in. Can't they creep in? My goodness, they've got this creeping ability. Creep in, but they take us down. And so we need to be aware of what's going on the inside. Okay, another example for you here. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have been through passport control at an airport, haven't we? All of us, I'm sure. And you go through that gate, and if you've got anything metal on your person, it beeps, and then they take you off to one side for a thorough going over with that wand thing, you know, and just to see if you're carrying anything dangerous. Well, here's our wand thing, right? The Bible. We need to give ourselves a thorough going over, heart and mind, just to see if we're carrying anything dangerous. Beep, 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 beep. Come on. Okay, wrong thoughts. It's good, isn't it? Wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, wrong motives. Not always aware of our motives, are we? And the word shines a light, doesn't it? And the light enables us to see whatever is lodged in there. I'm pulling us away from the Lord. I'm even pulling us out of church. Church is a place of light. It's where the word of God is preached. It's a place of light. And the enemy always wants to take us into the shadows. Yes. Yes. Into the shadows. We convince ourselves it's not too bad. It's gray. It's not black. But still, it's shadows. And there's no freedom in the shadows. That's where the enemy operates. Anything that causes you to start to back out of church, you can bet, be absolutely sure, Satan is behind it. He wants us living in independence, living in the shadows with our excuses, because he works in the shadows. To deceive, first of all, before he goes in to kill, steal, and destroy. And I thought of it like a cobra. Apparently a cobra hypnotizes its prey. That's how he operates. He deceives first before he strikes. Off into the shadows to deceive, and then you're vulnerable, he can strike. So you've heard of the phrase, there's safety in numbers, right? There's safety in church with God's people. The Bible says, don't give up meeting together. We need him, but we need one another, don't we? Just say to the person next to you, I need you. Turn back to them and say, you need me. Oh, yes, we do. However, as much as we need one another, there's only one person can keep your heart. Yeah. And it's not the Lord. It isn't Pastor Judith. It's you. Okay, we'll look back at Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We must guard our own hearts. Whose responsibility is it? Okay, can you have a day off? No, right? No, it is pretty much a full-time job. If you didn't know that, hear that today. Guarding your heart is a daily job, a full-time job. Because look, you never know what's going to come. Look, I'm going to use this example. I might look a bit silly saying this, but I never knew I had to brush my dog's teeth, right, till recently. We had dogs growing up. I never remember cleaning their teeth. I just don't. Turns out you do. I found out the hard way, poor Reg, bless him. Anyway, he's all right now. He's all right. But anyway, it's a daily job. And the thought of brushing my dog's teeth daily, initially, I've got to admit to you, it was a burden. I thought, are you kidding? Even weekly, that's a stretch. But daily, come on. Because it's a bit of a battle. We had a bit of a standoff, me and Reg, with this. And I have to get him into the corner in the kitchen and just kind of get him with one of these finger toothbrushes. And he fights. Well, he's kind of tolerates it now. But initially, the thought of it was a burden. But you know what? The more I do it, it's just kind of part of my day. It's what I do. He kind of sees me coming with this chicken flavored toothpaste and a little kind of toothbrush. And he's like, right, backs himself into the corner. Now it's like, right, okay, I know what's coming. But, you know, cleaning our hearts, it has to be a daily job. Otherwise, there's a build-up, just like plaque on your teeth, right? There's a build-up internally. And the rubbish comes daily. The temptations to get offended, they come daily. Sometimes more regularly than that. And the temptations to harbor resentment are many and varied. Because let's be honest, the stupidity and selfishness of people is endless. And I'm sure we can all reel off a few stories about that. But anyway, we're not responsible for them, praise God. But we are responsible for us. We are responsible for our own hearts. Matthew 5, verse 8 says this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I love that scripture. Blessed, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. That's a promise. People with a polluted heart don't see God. And people with a polluted heart don't hear God. And people with a polluted heart lose all sense of God's presence. And we can carry on going through the motions, even doing the Christian life. You know, in church, singing the songs, doing the dance. But you know what? Inside, if the heart's polluted, it's like a stone. Hard, cold, unresponsive. And we wonder why the Lord seems a million miles away. And the messages don't seem to reach us anymore. And we might have a little thought to ourselves. Has Pastor Judith lost the edge? Pastor Andrew just repeating herself again, you know, but no, the problem's a little bit closer to home. It's on the inside of you. It's because your heart has grown hard and resistant. That's why the word can't get in. So the first condition we're going to look at is the unbelieving heart. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. None of us want one of those, do we? You know, you wouldn't raise your hand or get in a prayer line for one of them. You want a believing heart. You want an unbelieving heart. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Beware, are you all there? Okay, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, listen to this, Jesus calls it an evil heart or a wicked heart. He doesn't mince his words here. It's not, oh, poor you, bless you, you've got an unbelieving heart. No, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So how do you get an unbelieving heart? Departing from the living God. Jesus is the author of faith. Think of this. He's our faith source. We separate from him, we're separating from our source of faith. And our faith nosedives. Your shield is down. As I was doing this, typing this out actually, at my computer, one of those things flashed up. You know, the security alerts, your Norton antivirus thing. And I thought, blow me, it's just like that. Your shield of faith is down. Unbelief gets in like a virus. You don't even know it's there. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, like not tomorrow, today, lest any of you be hardened, there's that word, through the deceitfulness of sin. So sin's deceptive. When we're in it, we don't know it. Okay? You think you're right. Deception is thinking you're right when you're wrong. Simple as that. Okay? So people in sin will tell you everything's fine. And the world will agree with them. Because think of this. A dark heart doesn't look dark in a dark world, just the same as everybody else. Might even look better than other people. Okay? But what does the Lord say? You're deceived. Sin's deceiving you, and your heart has grown hard. You're not sensitive to his voice anymore. You only hear what you want to hear. Bless me, provide for me, meet my needs, meet my wants. Okay, just the whole bless me message. Because sin deceives, and the only way to prevent that deception, or cure it if you've fallen for it, is exposure to this, the scanner. Beep, 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 beep. Resentment, judgment, criticism. Okay, so the second thing we're looking at, second heart condition, is the hard heart. Gosh, it's meaty this morning, isn't it? But you can take it, and actually we need it. We need to hear this stuff. You're there already, Hebrews 3. Look, go to verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today. Interesting how many times that word crocs up. Because a lot of us can be, let's put it off till tomorrow, people. Right? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, saw my works 40 years. Imagine that. 40 years of wonders, signs and wonders in the wilderness. But still, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. And they've not known my way, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. When you've got a hard heart, you don't know the rest of God. You don't know the peace of his presence, the calming ability of his presence in your life or in your soul. And life's hard. You know, when you've got a hard heart, you have a hard life. It's difficult, you know. And the thing is, it can't be sorted from the outside in. It has to be sorted from the inside out. And anger management, it's just a plaster over the wound, isn't it? All these kind of behavior therapy things, it's not actually getting to the root, which is in the heart. But if you'll sort your heart with Jesus, he'll sort the life. He'll sort your mind. He'll sort all the other issues. Because all the issues of life stem from the heart. Okay? Now, sometimes people develop a hard heart for reasons that aren't their fault. Disappointment, failure, being let down. It can cause a hard heart. But as believers, the healer lives on the inside of us, doesn't he? We can run to the comforter and he will comfort and heal. Isn't it amazing what Jesus can do when we believe in him? Really? You know, the healing of the heart is as much as a miracle as the healing of a back, a head, an arm, a leg. Come on. He can heal the outside and the inside. Nothing is out of his reach, is it? The word works effectively in those who believe. I feel so sorry for people who go through heartbreak and heartache who don't have faith in Jesus. Because where do they run to? And who do they run to? Well, lots of things. The answer is all sorts of things, but they never fully or ever permanently heal the heart. It's just another plaster, isn't it, over the wound. And so they live in this kind of prison because the walls go up, because they're so hurt. They're defensive. And the walls go up because they don't want to let anybody in, just in case they get hurt again. But you know, the only person they're hurting is them, really. They don't want to trust again. But you know, Jesus, he doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us open-hearted, tender-hearted to him and to other people. You know, the great news for us as believers is we don't have to shield ourselves. We trust him. He shields us with his amazing power. Just to go on a bit more about this hard heart. People with a hard heart find it difficult to love others. They draw back. You know, that picture of the heart that's shrinking. They draw back. You know, and it can be a defensive thing, but they draw back. They're not quite as generous with their time anymore. They're not quite as compassionate as they used to be. We're going to look at a scripture. 1 John 3, verses 16 and 17 says this. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So when we stop being moved by other people's need, it's a problem. You know, if you see somebody struggling and don't offer to help, it's a problem. Not in them, in you, okay? It's great to give to strangers, isn't it? It's fantastic. The generosity of this church is fantastic. Look at how much money we raised last weekend for the Mongolian children. Praise God for you. Praise God for generous hearts. But you know, it's just as important to be generous to the people we do know, the people we do even live in the same house with. You know, it's our giving shouldn't just be financial, should it? We can give in so many ways to ease people's burdens. If one person in your home is doing all the work, that's a problem to God. And it should be a problem to you. It goes on in 1 John chapter 4. If you don't love God, essentially, you don't love people. How can we say we love God and hate our brother? If you don't love people, you don't really love God. You're just deceiving yourself. Jesus was moved with compassion, wasn't he? Regularly. He didn't always cry, but sometimes he did. But he always moved. Compassion moved him from A to B. He didn't just stand at A feeling sorry. He moved to B. He moved to meet the need. He ministered to the crowds. He went to Bethany and raised Lazarus, didn't he? You know, he wasn't closed, unmoved, uncaring. Wow, they're just learning a lesson right there. I don't want to intervene. No, he got involved, you know. He wasn't judgmental. He got involved. He wasn't selfish. He wasn't closed. And a hard heart causes you to go like that. Your compassion goes down. Your generosity, you pull back. So there's an unbelieving heart. You're loving this, aren't you? Just say to the person next to you, this is doing you good. It is. I know it is because the Lord said it would, right? We can have an unbelieving heart. We can have a hard heart. Or number three, we can have a troubled heart. Anybody here read the story of Job? My gosh, that's a tough one, isn't it? But he had a troubled life and a troubled heart. Job chapter 30, verse 27 says this. He said, my heart is in turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me. Now, that's not just a tough day, is it? You know, it's not your normal everyday hassles. Well, they didn't reply to my text. They were a bit clipped with me on the phone this morning. That's not days of turmoil. An affliction, is it? Let's be honest. Come on. This is day in, day out, distress and pain. And life has its ups and downs. Sometimes we go through some real troubled waters. But when the trouble moves from the outside to the inside, and like Job, you cannot rest. The enemy's stolen your peace and your heart is troubled. Troubled on the inside. Jesus said to Martha, you know this, don't you? Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Does he look at you this morning, say your name? You're worried and troubled about many things. He sees. But one thing's needed. Come and sit at my feet. Come and listen to what I've got to say. I'll show you how to navigate through this. He doesn't want us to live with troubled hearts. Does he, church? You know, weighed down by life's problems and demands. That's how the world live, because they don't have a savior. Well, they do, they just don't know him, haven't accepted him. He paid for our freedom in every arena of life. And if we will listen to him, not only does he show us how to navigate our way through, but he shows us how to do it better. He gives us the ability to do it better, so we don't just endure. We can even enjoy life. Trouble on the outside, okay. Not on the inside, right? Psalm 94, verses 12 and 13 says this. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. We have days of adversity. There will always be trouble. There'll always be challenge. I think it's good to face it and it's just how it is. There will always be challenge. If it's not there, it's over there. You know, if it's not your foot, it's your, you know, there's something. There's challenge, there's pressures. But the trouble shouldn't be in us. And the pressure shouldn't be in us. Now, I've just gone through one of the most troubled, pressurized times of my life. And had such tension on the inside. But I would go to Jesus. You know, pressure cookers. You know, I'd feel like a pressure cooker. But I'd go to Jesus and just allow him to minister to me. And it's like he turned the lid on that pressure cooker and the steam escaped. And the pressure just disappeared. And I'd come back to, well, Jesus, you're Lord. There's all this claptrap going on, but you're Lord. You're Lord. You're amazing. You're still Lord. You will always be Lord. I'm just sticking here with you on the rock, trusting you. Everything will be all right. And you know, he's the Prince of Peace. When we stick with him, we're sticking with the Prince of Peace. And when we're doing life his way, Isaiah 9, as his government increases, his peace increases. But you can't have his peace if you've not got his rule, can you? Just doesn't work like that. You know, if you've got a polluted heart, bad attitudes, the stuff God hates, we can't have his rest. We can't have his peace. And I tell you what, I value that just about more than anything else in my life. Peace of God, the rest of his presence, the knowledge of his presence with me. But I know I've got to look after my heart because stuff happens and I can dip down with it for all sorts of reasons. So Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart, he says, just in case you've not got it yet, keep your heart with all diligence, attention, for out of it spring the issues of life. The NIV puts it like this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The words you speak, the choices you make, everything in our lives, good and bad, stem from the heart. And you know, when your heart's not right, you might be able to put on a show for other people, deceive them. You might even be able to deceive yourself. But you know one person you can never deceive? The Lord God Almighty. He has got, I like to think of it like this, right? He's got X-ray vision. Remember Superman? I always think of Sam. Superman, right? X-ray vision. He can see through the charade that's going on. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7 says this. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord, where's he looking? He's looking on the inside. He can see on the inside. So I want to put it to you this morning. What does the Lord see then when he looks at your heart? I've got a list. You know the first three. Does he see an unbelieving heart? Does he see a hard heart because of sin or deception or your own kind of self-defensiveness? Or does he see a troubled heart, weighed down, anxious about many things? Or can you stand before him this morning and say with confidence, by the grace of God, I've got a pure heart, I've got a soft heart, I've got a believing heart. We're just going to take a bit of time. I'm going to invite Sunny to play. We're just going to talk to the Lord now and allow him to talk to us.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.